Good morning. Thankful to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone. I want to direct your attention to Psalm 46 and the first 11 verses, where we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's an interesting read, isn't it? It's when you read it from a historical perspective, you recognize that the writer is concerned about the distresses that are facing the people of God. Certainly, as you read this first paragraph, talking about the earth being removed and the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar and are troubled, the mountains shake and are swelling. That looks like the end of the earth. What he is talking about is, regardless of how bad things might get, we might think that things can't get any worse than they are, but things can get a whole lot worse than they are. And that's the point that he's making, but the real point that he's making is that God is our refuge and strength. Even if the earth was shaking, and we've been reading about that or seeing that on television a lot here out in California lately, haven't we? Even if the earth is shaking and mountains are being removed and water is rushing in, well, that's been in the news too, hasn't it? Down in Louisiana. It looks like things are terrible, and things are terrible. And maybe things are not terrible with us in regards to earthquakes and floods. But things might be difficult with us in relationships and in finances and in health and all kinds of things. We need to remember in times such as that God is our refuge. And we need to remember who God is and that nothing is impossible with God. As you come into the next paragraph, beginning with verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy places of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Earth might be moved, but the tabernacle of God is not going to be moved. What is the tabernacle of God? A tabernacle is a place where God dwells. It's where people dwell. The tabernacle of God is with His people. It's with the faithful. God will not be moved and God's people will not be moved. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. Verse 6, he says, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Regardless of what else is going on in the world and what's happening to other people and even happening to us, we need to know who God is. And we need to know that God dwells with us, His tabernacle. The God of Jacob is our refuge. come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. I say, well, why would God make desolations in the earth? Well, sometimes you destroy things to make things better. That's true in nature too. And while we behold the desolation, we think, well, this is not a good thing. And it's not a good thing at the time, but out of that can come good. You need to realize that God indeed created the universe and the earth and the systems that control it and sustain it. Sometimes things are necessary. And sometimes difficulties come into our life to make our life better, to make us stronger, to help us to recognize that we are the people of God and that He's made promises to us and He keeps His promises. And we need to trust those promises and obey Him. Only God can make wars to cease, breaks the bows and cuts the spear, burns the chariot with fire. You might say, well, wait a minute. Seems to me like when the children of Israel came into the land of Canaan, he told them to go to war. Told them to go to war to make peace. Sometimes war is necessary for peace to come about. It's the only way people who are determined to do evil, sometimes the only way to make an impression upon them is to defeat them. In fact, you always have to defeat them. Not always with war. God ultimately wins, and His victory is because people come to understand that He is a God of love and that they are walking contrary to His love. And rather than continue to kick against the goads or the pricks, as they decide that they need to walk in His love too and keep His commandments. Because He loved us, we are motivated to love Him and humble ourselves before Him and obey Him. And so we come to realize that indeed the God of Jacob is our refuge. I want to go through this pretty quick here. We've noted it, but I want to emphasize that we are to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that you are in God, that God dwells in you, that you are God's tabernacle. And He is not going to forsake you. He's not going to forget you. Regardless of what trouble we might face, the Lord of hosts is with us. Regardless of what difficulties might come against us, enemies of God, and because we are allies with God, they are enemies of us, the Lord of hosts is with us. So we talked about in Bible class this morning, Abram should have known better. God had made a promise to him. He said, whoever curses you, I'll curse. And whoever blesses you, I'll bless. And so when he was afraid that his life was going to be taken because people were going to want his wife, and in order to have his wife, they're going to have to kill him, and he didn't want to be killed, and so he told Sarah, just tell him you're my sister. Well, half-sister. But didn't say half-sister. Don't tell him you're my wife, whatever you tell him. Well, that didn't go so good. Not such a good plan, was it? Not such a good plan. And a lot of times we get ourselves in that situation. God says, look, I am your God. I am your refuge. I'll take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything that you need will be added to you. Trust me, love me, revere me, and everything will be fine. You'll have to go through the fire. There'll be troubles and tribulations. Those things are there to make you stronger. help you to realize that indeed you are walking in my faith and you are trusting in me. You just be faithful. In the midst of these difficulties of life, instead of being troubled, be still. Be still. And know that you abide in your God and He abides in you. I want to think about that for a little bit this morning. In God there is certainty in the midst of uncertainty. In the midst of uncertain times, you can know with certainty that it's going to be all right because you dwell with God. Think about Job. Everything that Job was going through in one day, everything of a physical nature that you can think of, an emotional nature, and even of a spiritual nature. Everything was taken from him. Everything was at least threatened. His friends came to him to comfort him, really because they thought that what the only thing reason these kind of things can happen to you is if you sinned. And Job, you need to repent and confess your sin and everything will be all right. And Job searched his soul and says, I haven't sinned. I'm being honest with you. I haven't sinned. I don't understand this. He thought the same way that they did. They were without revelation on this subject. And they were all wrong. Their perceptions were wrong. But one thing that Job knew of a certainty, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. I don't understand what's happening, but I know who God is. I know He's my Redeemer. He'll buy me back. He'll get me out of this somehow. I know I shall see God. He even has a perception of resurrection here, doesn't he? He knows that, you know, everybody dies. Regardless of how good life is or how difficult life is, everybody dies. He says, even after my flesh has gone away, I'm coming back. I want to see God. You think of Daniel and how that he withstood Nebuchadnezzar when he wanted to have the people eat food that was forbidden for the children of Israel, and how he stood against him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure, talking here now of Paul. He went through difficulties in his life, many difficulties, and one of them was a difficulty in his health. He says, I had an abundance of revelations from God. Unless I should be exalted, puffed up with pride, and act as if I know everything, and everything revolves around me. He says, there's this thorn in the flesh that was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities rather than in my revelations. I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the evidence of faith in God rest upon me because, and it's even more evident, because of this thorn in the flesh. I remain faithful. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Why do we look to men like Job and Joseph and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they were persecuted and threatened and misunderstood, and yet they remained faithful. And we say, how terrible it must have been to go through the things that they went through. And we look to Paul and his thorn in the flesh and the persecutions that he experienced, and how distressful it must have been. Times of need, times that he was in the sea and in peril of drowning, and all of those things. Why do we look to such men? Because they knew that God was with them. They were walking by faith. They were trusting Him and obeying Him. And they were going to trust Him and obey Him regardless of what difficulty they might face in life. In Philippians 4 and verse 11, you're familiar with this. Paul said, not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I've learned that whether I have a lot or very little, I'm content. I'm content that I walk with God. Philippians 4 and verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In 2 Timothy 4 and verses 5 through 8, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, believed to be the last letter that Paul would write, very close to death here. You be watchful, Timothy, in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry, for I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. My life, my years upon the earth, my days upon the earth are about to come to an end, Timothy. How would you feel if you knew the days of your life were about to come to an end? Would you be afraid? Would you regret it? Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Because I have fought the good fight, because I have kept the faith, because I have not quit and have finished the race, I know the Lord is there. I know that He's going to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know that I'm going to receive that crown of life. And I know that I'm nobody special. I know that everyone who keeps the faith, I know who everyone who continues to run the race and finish the race, that everyone who does that is going to receive the same crown of life that only the Lord God can give. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 8 through 11, he says, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even for life. Sounds like kind of like what we read there in Psalms, right? Only now we're not speaking figuratively. In Psalms, he likened this kind of condition of life to earthquakes and floods and destruction of the earth and everything just crumbling around you. That's exactly what Paul was going through in Asia. He said, you heard about it. That's what we were going through. Was it bad? Yeah, it was really bad. If we didn't know that God was the Lord and that He dwelt in us and we dwelt in Him, we would have thought we were going to die. But we knew better. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. You know, we didn't know if we were going to die or not. But we knew what Job knew, that if we died, we were going to live again. We knew that we were going to be resurrected, and we knew we'd be resurrected to life. He delivered us from so great death, the death of sin that separates from God. That's the great death. We were separated from God, and He's delivered us from that to dwell in us, and us to dwell in Him. And He continues to deliver us. In whom we trust, that He will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Don't ever doubt the importance of prayer. You know, Paul's not trying to just puff these people up. He's speaking truth here. God hears. God answers prayer. And Paul and his companions at this time trusted in God through this great difficulty. But they also recognized that God was hearing the prayers of their beloved brothers and sisters in Christ on their behalf. Faith in God assures us of victory. Over and over and over again, we read this in the Scriptures. Faith in God, faith to God, hearing God, trusting Him, obeying Him, assures us of victory of whatever difficulty we're facing in our life. In 1 John 5, verses 2 through 4, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Keeping His commandments isn't going to make life difficult for you. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, the faith that has been delivered to us and that we practice. 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 51 through 58. Behold, I tell you a mystery. You've wondered about this for a long time. I'm going to tell you about it. You know, when you read, behold, I tell you a mystery, I'm telling you the truth about the fact. We shall not all sleep. What's going to happen when we die? People ask that question in every generation. And people have all kinds of imaginations as to what is going to happen when we die. Right? You can turn on your television. You can listen to the radio. You can talk to your friends or listen to them talk to each other about the subject of death and what happens when we die, and you're going to hear all kinds of different things. Even among Christians, and that's who he's talking to. He's talking to Christians. Christians who are saying, what's going to happen when we die? I'm going to tell you what happens when you die. I'm going to tell you what happens after you die. I tell you a mystery. Not that it's going to continue to be a mystery, but you're going to know the end of the story. It won't be a mystery. Here it is. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. We're not all going to have a funeral for us. We're not all going to die. But we shall all be changed. We're going to leave this body as we know it. This body as we know it's going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know what Job was talking about? That's going to happen. And if we're alive when it happens, we're going to be just like Job. And he's going to be just like us. Those of us who are the tabernacle of God, who walk by faith, who abide in His love and keep His commandments to His praise and glory, who revere Him. For this corruptible, that's, you know, this body is subject to corruption, to decay. This corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality, because we're going to go to a place that is not physical. We're going to go to a spiritual realm where spiritual beings dwell. Mortal beings can't live there. And if we want to go there, then we've got to be changed and be like them. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? These things have been written about. You've read them. When's the fulfillment of them going to be? When it happens. You're going to experience that. We're not all going to die, but we're all going to be changed. Whether we're alive when He comes, or whether we do die, we will all be the same. We will all be changed. We're going to realize the ultimate victory. We're going to receive that crown of life that Paul was talking about. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But God, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, I don't care what labor you do on this earth. At some point, you turn around and say, you know, I do this all the time. I clean the house and it just gets dirty again. I do maintenance on the car and 3 months, 6 months, a year, needs to have maintenance done on it again. House, whatever. But not all labor is vain. Kenny over here seals parking lots, asphalt. Kenny, you ever go someplace and seal someplace and it never needs to be done again? And he's like, man, this is a never-ending job. We get tired of that, don't we? We think, well, our labor's in vain. But the labor that we do in the Lord is not in vain. So always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Don't get tired. Don't get tired of maintaining your faith, of revering God and keeping His commandments. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, He Himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And in the time that you might be getting weak and tired, be still and know that I am the Lord. I'm here. Don't forget. Don't be like Abram. Remember my promises. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 10. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. I want you to think about something here. We're getting to the end of the lesson. So what should be? It's 5 minutes till. Okay. But if you don't get anything out of this lesson, get this out of this lesson. And I hope you're impressed. Have mercy upon me. I know I sin. I'm asking you to forgive me. Take mercy upon me. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Now, we've talked about a lot of difficulties in life here today. Difficulties in nature, difficulties in persecution, difficulties in finances, health, all those kinds of things. But I submit to you that the greatest difficulty that bears upon any of us is awareness of our sin. And that's what the psalmist here is bearing his soul to God about. And the psalmist is also realizing that in the turmoil of the awareness of his sin against God, he can be still and know that God is his Lord. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Because he's not enjoying gladness right now as he's remembering his sin. That the bones you have broken may rejoice. God's word convicts us of our sin. It breaks our bones. It brings us pain spiritually, to know that we have disgraced God and separated ourselves from God. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Not a heart that loves sin, loves self, not a heart that's full of pride and pursues what I want. Let my heart be a heart that pursues what God wants in my life. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. How many times have we prayed this prayer? Have mercy on me, O God. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Make me white as snow. Make me clean. Give me a new heart. And I'm going to go right back and do the sin again. We don't read like we know we should. We don't pray like we know we should. We don't talk to others like we know we should. We don't turn from our sin and temptation like we know we should. So, when you pray for God to forgive you of your sin, to wash you and to make you clean, be assured that as you acknowledge your transgressions to Him and you genuinely repent, be assured He's going to forgive you of your sin. He's going to make you clean and white as snow. But don't forget to pray for this last one here. Renew a steadfast spirit in me, that the next time temptation comes, I'm going to stand fast against it. That the next time I'm weak, I'm going to stand strong. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. You can do that If you just take a moment and stop and say, Almighty God is my Lord. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. I must not leave or forsake Him in this time. Kind of had in a background here a beautiful picture. Sometimes, you know, and here recently we've been able to go outside and look up to the sky and look to the sky. You know, one thing about storms when they're off in a far place that they create big clouds and so forth, and there's bad things going on over there, but it's beautiful to kind of look at those things sometimes. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. Be still and know that hardships are part of life. Be still and know that God is greater than those hardships. Stand fast. Stand fast with God. Stand fast in your reverence. Stand fast in your faith. Stand fast in keeping His commandments and living to His glory. Psalm 2 and verse 12 says, blessed are those who put their trust in Him. Be one of those. Put your trust in Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the point that you're ready to turn from yourself and your sin to walk in faith with Him. You're ready to confess Jesus as the Son of God. You're ready to obey Him, being baptized for the remission of your sins. And you're ready from this day forward to abide in His Word. If you're here today and you're a child of God, and maybe you're like the psalmist that we just noticed there, aware of your sin, in need of the mercy of God and the forgiveness of your sins, He tells us to confess our faults one to another. Pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we can assist you this morning in any way, would you indeed be living for Jesus? Would you come as we stand and sing this song?